Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Starring none other than the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op himself, Martin Patella. I'm your co-host and executive producer, Scott Patton. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm starting to tire of that overly optimistic, here comes Johnny.
Here's Martin.
I reckon that most of the people that are listening to this would just say, come on, get to the point.
Well, let's get to the point. Last time we were talking about water, and I just had a sip of water as I said that. And it's amazing to me, first of all, the benefits of being properly hydrated, A, and then B, how we can actually impact water,
Let me throw, I'll match this and I'll raise you with, I actually think that water is the universal memory device of the physical universe that we live in. You know, like God's hard drive.
Okay.
Because water has this fantastic ability through the liquid crystal arrangements of water molecules as they relate to one another through the hydrogen-hydrogen bonds. There are these subtle electric charges in there, right? And the water can change the angle of the two hydrogens vis-a-vis each other. But it can also show how through bonds between different water molecules, it can form these clusters. And they're three-dimensional clusters, not just flat. You know, most people think that they see the pattern of it in a snowflake, and they have this sort of image of the snowflake, you know, as you see it in a cartoon or on a Christmas greeting card. But in fact, that thing is a three-dimensional device. It's like a star polyhedron.
All right.
I say that in plain English. Oh, it's it has multiple vortices, multiple peaks. Right? So it's not just a flat thing with six points on it. It's actually a three-dimensional, multi-pyramid kind of thing. And each one of those branches represents something. And we have already documented with these pages, pictures, that Dr. Emoto from Japan was showing through his photography, that depending on what happens to the water before you freeze it, it'll freeze in different ways.
Right.
So that, to me, is a big deal, because homeopathy, for instance, an application of this water theory, shows us that we can dilute a substance down to parts per trillion. Essentially, you can no longer detect the original substance in the medium, being water or alcohol, which is mostly water. Anyway, you can no longer detect the original substance in it, yet it retains all of the vibrational quality of it. Meaning this, if I give you the homeopathic remedy for bee sting, it's going to be exactly reacting as if you had a bee sting take place right now.
Without the actual bee sting taking place.
No poison. Just the message, right?
So then I'll have a reaction like I would if I got stung by a bee?
Yes.
That's not very good.
Well, it is excellent if you need to use it as an antidote to something.
Okay, so my body reacts as though it's been stung by a bee without being stung by a bee, so it creates protection against that.
Exactly. I mean, it's more useful in things like, for instance, if your eyes are itching, and you will take a remedy of a plant called Eyebright, it will stimulate the immune system into clear your sticky and irritated eyes.
Right.
So that's a more useful application of that. But anyway, what I'm trying to get to is that structuring of the water itself is paramount. It's gigantically important. And yet, that's something that's totally ignored by the engineers, scientists, and all of that mainstream stuff that will accuse me of being some kind of a New Age wussy.
Yeah. And but you said it once before. I remember this from a podcast episode we did probably 2 or 3 years ago, in that water is made up of H2O, two hydrogen molecules, one oxygen molecule, but that's really not true. What it is that's one water molecule, but it clumps up, so you could have like 1,000 of these H2Os clumped up, and when it's in our body, there are places where there's only space for one molecule of water to go through at a time. So if you've got 500 of these clumped together, it just kind of like sits there. It's like a bowling ball trying to go into a golf hole, right? You know, it's just not going to go in, right?
Cluster of grapes trying to come through a finger-size hole, yes.
That's right. So, or the camel going through the eye of a needle, sort of thing. So, people say, well, I'm drinking, but I'm still, when you check them out, they're still dehydrated. And of course, it's because they're just taking water that is not in a natural state. Water that's pumped, 48 miles through old pipes is not going to be the same as the water you're going to get coming down an unpolluted mountain stream. Right, which is kind of what we grew up, what our ancestors, grew up with millions of years ago. So the structuring of the water is really, really important. And I think that we just don't, it's not in the general consciousness that if you just do what Dr. Emoto proved, right, you just send love to the water or healing energy to the water, it restructures that water, which he proved when you flash freeze it, it gives out these beautiful crystals. Whereas if you send hateful thoughts or angry thoughts, it turns into like almost muddy looking clumps. So, when you look at all of our food and our fruits and our vegetables, and it all has water in it. So if someone is like, smashing away as they're chopping up the carrots, really ticked off and angry, all of that energy goes into the water, into the carrots, and then it just gets, put into the bodies of the people that eat. And so it's so important that everything we do it love, and we're now showing really scientific evidence of this, that a lot of the religions and spiritual teachings of the ages have always said, think loving thoughts and everything, and here we are, we're recording it in the water, and of course it's going to have an impact on how we use that water in our bodies.
Right. And so, one point, linear pipes cause turbulence, which creates some sort of eddies, that are programming the water the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Water is supposed to naturally spiral, vortex. And so, there are devices that will let you re-vortex your water. Like, for instance, you can find on the Life Enthusiast website something called Alive Water, which are little devices that you can put inside either on your shower or on your kitchen tap or even your entire house water supply. And inside of that piece of pipe, there are baffles that are vortexial. So they spin first clockwise and then counterclockwise, so that when the water runs through it, it actually gets spun the correct way and it gets restructured to natural. Or should I go on the or do you want to say something?
Well, I was just actually looking at it on life-enthusiast.com under Alive Water, and it's pretty amazing because you eliminate the need to digest water, which I thought was rather interesting, and you increase the amount of oxygen in the water, which I think is really important. And making it alive and energized is really, really important. I mean, particularly when you think of the thousands of dollars people will spend on filtering systems and bottled water and all the rest of it, right? It's just absolutely amazing to me.
Yes. Well, here's an interesting concept. In nature, water gets distilled over and over and over through cold temperature distillation. Meaning this, the water will rise either from a lake or from the ocean, form a cloud, and then travel on the airstream and then be dumped onto the earth in the form of rain. Or, more interestingly, in the cold moments just before morning, the water will start to form dew on cold surfaces. Like this commonly, you know, in an urban setting, you will see it on cars, windshields and hoods and places like that, where you will see water beads in the morning.
Right.
Didn't rain overnight. And you can, of course, see it on leaves of trees and blades of grass. You know, the most beautiful poetic photographs that you will see are
yes.
the single blade of grass with a bead of water on it. That water condensed on that blade of grass in the early morning when the air was the coldest, and it dropped below the dew point. And the air that's containing moisture, it's called humidity, all of a sudden drops below the dew point, and the humidity becomes condensed as water. That's your natural filtration. That's how nature distills water.
Yep.
Now, a human distillation process is different. What we typically do is we boil the water. We force it all the way up to the boiling point, 212 degrees Fahrenheit, and force it up into somewhere, you know, the chamber, collection chamber, and then we forcibly cool it in some cooling elements or pipes, and then we have that water in a collection jar. Now, the interesting point is that straight distilled water tastes really awful. Most water distillers have to contain or include a carbon filter to get rid of all of the ugly stuff that comes with it.
Okay.
We have something very simple, which is the Prills, the famous precious Prills as introduced by Dr. Shealy and Jim Carter. And this simple ceramic device replicates, or mimics, I should say, the process of natural cold temperature distillation. It gives the water the same organization it has when it naturally condenses through the cold temperature distillation. The dew. So that water, number one, tastes better, fills the mouth with sort of a nice, round, soft feel. And there are measurable things that we can distinguish about the water. First thing is that it has lower surface tension. So it means that it will bead flatter. You know, it will sheet more readily.
Right.
Second thing is, well, that's important because that's that it can dissolve things more effectively. Second thing about it, it has a pH that's more alkaline. That's a good thing because mm-hmm. alkalizes the body. Number three, it has lower ORP, which means that it has a greater zeta potential, which means that it enhances the life force, the integrity of all living things.
Mm.
Big deal.
Big deal, yeah. Adding more life force. And, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I have a friend who's 64, and doesn't, you know, I can see the life force dropping in him because I've known him for 35 years and he's more stooped over. He's a very tall fellow and, you know, he's had blood clots and he's had a hernia operation and one of his eyes, the nerves at the back, so they think, you know, maybe he had a very slight stroke. And the nerves at the back of his eyes are jumbled up, so now he can't, he really can't see. And he's, you know, and it's just been the last year, it's just like one thing after another, after another, after another.
Yeah.
And,
apart.
And what's that?
He's falling apart.
He's falling apart. And I think, you know, you'll drink beer instead of water and,
yes, and eat cooked fried food instead of a salad.
Yep, all those just typical typically doing everything we say not to do, right?
Yeah, a perfect example. He's your control group.
He's my control group, you know.
And he's Scott, as we see you sort of reversing your aging, right? Like,
yeah.
The 3 years that I've known you, you have probably taken about 15 years off your clock, right?
Yeah.
Where it has added 10.
Yeah. And he's the person that, you know, when he got divorced, I got divorced 10 years later, right? So he's been my 10-year gauge. Like is it the dove that they would put in the mines? You know, if the dove died, everybody got out because they would die first, sort of thing. He's been my dove for, you know,
yeah.
Look out, because this is what's going to happen to you if you don't do anything, if you do the same thing he did 10 years later, right? And so as I look at that and I go, I don't want that, right? So I'm very motivated to eat my greens and salads and put prills in the water and make sure I go for my hikes and walks and get fresh air and,
right.
And all the things that we talk about doing, right? It's so important.
Yes. So we talked about the ionizers in our last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There's an example that you can spend anywhere from $1,500 to maybe $4,000 on a water ionizer, which will, through technology, deliver this really good result. You know, the water has the better ORP, it's more microclustered, it is more alkaline. I don't know about the surface tension, but I'll assume they'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you know, an annual maintenance on a water ionizer is around $100 because you need to replace the filters.
So you're looking at spending $1,500 on an ionizer that will probably last 20-odd years. So like $75 a day, a year.
I doubt it would last that long. Seven, maybe.
Seven, okay. So $200 a year, which is less than 50 cents a day, and then $100 maintenance a year.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, because our bodies are, 70 to 80% water, and so you put crappy water in your body, it doesn't take a genius, so you don't even have to think about, I would think the biggest skeptic would not argue with that if you take really brackish water and give it to your plants, they're not going to do as well as if you give them, you know, fresh rainwater that you just collected.
Truly, right? And these experiments have been done. I've done some searching on the internet. I remember this one particular experiment that had one girl and a grandpa doing I think it was 2 months or something like that. They started with several plants and they were watering them with microwave water.
Oh, yes.
Microwaved on one side, boiled on the other, just so that you can demonstrate brought to heat, cooled. One was microwave, the other one was just stove heat.
Right. And I'm glad you said that. You didn't water the plants with boiling water. That wouldn't have been too good.
That's a sure way to shut it down quick.
That's right.
But anyway, so there's the structuring again, the water memory, which is maximum in a microwave. But anyway, what I wanted to go back to is the prills. Because the prills, you know, we sell them for $15. They last about 3 years. And the only other cost you have is a filter, because you should filter your water before you treat it.
Yes.
The filters, you have two filters in a water ionizer. You can probably get by on a single filter doing the prill process. And then on the back end, you have $2,000 on an ionizer or $15 on the prills. The result is comparable.
Yes, well, the ionizer will last 6 or 7 years, but the prills will only last 3, you said. So you'd have to replace them every 3 years.
Oh, sorry.
big $15 expense every 3 years.
So I don't mean to knock the ionizer because it does have stronger water. You know, it's more alkaline and more clustered and all of that. So if you have somebody who's got significant health problem that has an expire date written on it, you know, like the doctor says, well, you have maybe 6 months or 2 years. The statistics tell us that you will be dying soon. I would advise for the ionizer.
Right.
But if you have the time, or if you're not terribly sick, or if you're seeking prevention, or if you're seeking high performance, the drills will do.
That's what I'm thinking. Prevention all the way.
Yes, indeed.
So, you know, it's one thing for us to talk about what individuals can, and which is what we normally talk about, is what individuals can do to, you know, protect themselves and improve their health and everything else. But it was very interesting what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico, because we came across some information about a fella who was cleaning up the water in a way that was not... I guess what you would expect the U.S. government and those people to be trying.
Well, you know, engineers don't think outside of the box. So an engineer will try to throw dispersant on oil and make the situation even worse, because now instead of the oil being on the surface where you can collect it, it's now dispersed. It's now gone to small droplets and it's everywhere. And the same dispersant is... affecting the surface tension of the creatures that are in the ocean. Now, I don't know if you remember what happens to a snail when you put salt on it.
It doesn't like it too much, as I recall.
Change the osmotic pressure on the outside, and all of a sudden that poor thing is losing its internal water to the salt that's on his surface. So you kill him by osmosis. Now, what happens to a creature that is set up to be at a certain surface tension in the ocean? And you now change the surface tension of the skin. All of a sudden, he's leaking his internal fluid out into the outside because the osmotic membrane that he used to have is now not functioning correctly. So dumping dispersants by the megaton in the ocean was hugely damaging to the sea life. But that's how an engineer thinks. John Hutchison is a very different type of creature. This fellow has been thinking outside of the box for decades. And so he came up with this, essentially an ultrasound device. It's a frequency generator. It's not necessarily sound, right? He uses frequencies. Could be microwave, for all I know. However, he's been able to do some really amazing things, right? He's been able to restructure the terrible water so that it can return to its original parameters.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And
I guess you could say it this way. It somehow managed to dump the oil... That, you know, the suspended oil that these engineers managed to put into the water through the dispersants. And somehow, before treatment, you can identify the water. It's murky, it's foamy, it's got opaque quality to it. And then he does the frequency treatment, and poof, it's clear water.
Yeah, he's come up with a combination of audio and radio frequencies that have been shown scientifically to reduce the oil and grease in polluted waters in the Gulf of Mexico from 7 parts per million to less than 1 part per million, restoring the water's vitality. They know that by the return of fish, dolphins, and even barnacles and they're doing it near Perdido Bay in Lillian, Alabama. And that's where they first did it. And what's kind of interesting is, you know, they show some pictures of the water kind of before and after. And right at the end, and by the way, on our podcast episode, I'll have a link to this page, but there was a follow-up article where the local captain of a boat that charters dolphin sightseeing tours and didn't even know what they were doing was logging that there was a change in the water and the dolphins were, quote-unquote, happy in a neighboring bay. So that was
back, and they were playful instead of listless, tired, with a headache.
That's right.
What a headache feels like to a dolphin. But I can imagine that if you put it into an environment where it's not good, not happy, you know, he's going to behave like he's not happy. Cranky dolphin.
That's right.
Yeah, good. So good for John, and may he get funding so that he can go do a lot of it. Of course, again, the engineers will poo-poo it, saying, oh, this is just some kind of a witchcraft. Get out of here.
Well, what's interesting is that they called BP, the EPA, the Coast Guard, and they got no response. They ended up talking with the local government officials, including the sheriff, and they got the response from them of, this is great, but we can't, quote, officially, unquote, sanction it. We can't help. Go talk with local private citizens that are on the beach, set up the equipment with them, and we won't stop you from retreating the water.
So isn't this interesting, is that this is showing us that the system is corrupt all the way from the top, and the only way we can revive it is from the roots up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is what's been going on in the health industry as I know it. You know, one person at a time realizes that chasing the drugs, the push button, the operation, the surgical, the chemical model just gets you nowhere. That you have to accept the fact that the monomorphic model of the human body is false and the pleomorphic model is true.
Yeah.
Which then leads you to thinking, well, okay, the only way this will work is holistic medicine, functional medicine, and not pharmaceutical chemical medicine. And that the basic difference in those two philosophies is that the current accepted model or the mainstream model sees illness as something that comes from outside. The other model, the holistic model, sees illness as something that's allowed by weakness from within.
Yeah. And they by the way, they also reported that new oil had washed up on shore on Venice, Louisiana, and so they're saying that they don't know about whether it doesn't look like the thing is actually capped or that there was another blowout that didn't make the news, but they saw dead birds, fish, dolphins all covered with oil. So you know, whatever's going on down there is still going on.
Okay, so there's more fresh oil being spewed up from the bottom, and it's no longer the big disaster, big news, so it just nobody cares, right?
Yeah.
Just the locals are dealing with the aftermath. Well, there we have it.
There you have it. So it's possible to make a change, and we just need to, I think, start talking to our elected representatives about, you know, why don't we do some of these things?
You know, Scott, I really don't think that that's even a good use of anybody's time. I really think that what we need to do is talk to each other and start doing the kind of things that make a difference. And just ignore that entire nonsense that goes on at the top of the management. Because they are hijacked. They are beholden to the money interests that have gotten them there. And there's just no help. You know, the pharmaceutical industry owns the mindset of the entire media, because they advertise. I mean, what advertisements do you see on television now? Viagra, Cialis, I don't know, Ambicort, and who knows what else. You know, half of the advertisements is either washing
drugs or cars.
Drugs, cars, and washing powders. You know, like household Johnson & Johnson. You know, whether you should use your mop with something on it or not on it, or what kind of soap, Mr. Magic. What's his name? Magic.
Mr. Clean?
Yeah, Mr. Clean Magic something. Anyway,
I have to give a plug for Miracle 2, the beautiful green soap, because I've been using it for years now, and my girlfriend says, your skin is like baby skin. It's so soft. And it's really true. You know, between that and
Magnesium
salts in the bath, talk about a nice
bath, yes, because that's what, you remember, the magnesium is antidote to calcification, and calcification is hardening. So to reverse the hardening caused by the calcification, you're left with softening, and there's your soft skin. Anyway, I'd like to finish the thought, which was something to do with advertisements on television, is that if they own the TV, they also own the radio, they also own the newspapers. Mm-hmm. Thank God they don't own the internet. But anyway, they own that channel, so I will never get on television. You know, even the guys that get on TV, like, you know, Dr. Oz on Oprah, he's sort of like semi-skirting with some common sense, but mostly he's just pushing the mainstream stuff. Or like that nutritionist trainer, his name is something Green, Oprah's personal
trainer. Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, he's into good meals and certified by Green and the Green Life or the Good Life. But when you look under the skirts of that, it's nothing much. And when you look at himself, he's no picture of health.
Yeah.
And his protege, Oprah, you know, I mean,
he goes up and down like a yo-yo.
I don't mean to be unkind to her, but her health is not under control. And for a woman who makes $100 million a year, she could do better.
We should go talk to her.
Yeah, but I don't think she can put us on the air, not because she doesn't want to, but because she won't be let or allowed to.
Right.
The message that we have is wrong because it contradicts the message that the people who own those channels want out there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying it's useless to talk to your congressman, because it's owned, stock, lock, barrel, by the people who pay for his campaign. Who are they? The ones who already have the money. That's the drug companies. Now, the sad thing about the drug companies is this. Their input costs are fantastically low. You know, the cost of the $10 Viagra pill is probably about a penny. And you can find reports of this elsewhere if you search it. Typical cost of drugs. You know, the prescription bottle is $150 a month. The manufacturer cost on that is probably, $2. So their margins are fantastically good.
Yeah.
That's why they can afford $1 billion or $3 advertising budget. Whereas when I sell you a $100 bottle of stuff, it costs me $50 to make it. There's very little room to go blow my brains out on advertising on Oprah Winfrey's show, if they let.
Right, right.
Anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. You're listening to the Renegade Radio. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op. You can find us at www.life-enthusiast.com. You can call us at 1-866-543-3388. And you can consider us as the people who restore vitality to you and to the planet.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.